Hello.
Episode number 18 of the Tampa 2 podcast. I am Terry.
And I'm Leo.
And we get started, as always, with the Tampa in 2.
The Tampa in 2.
Yep, and in Rays news, this week, the Rays have been doing pretty good. They've been doing pretty good in spring training. They've won 4 of the last 6 games. Some of the pitchers are looking good. Actually, most of the pitchers are looking good. Matt Moore is really the only one who struggled. Hitters are looking good. Evan Longoria looks healthy. Really, the only guy who's battling injuries is Luke Scott, because he's always hurt. But so far, so good for the Rays. So good start for the spring training for them.
Yeah, I wish we could say the same for the Magic as they continue losing games like crazy. We've lost, this past week we lost 3 of 4, but we are making headlines, but not in a good way. Most of you probably have heard in every single news source, even if it's not sports related, that the Heat beat the Magic in a close buzzer beater layup by LeBron James.
Yes, OMG. So LeBron James, so clutch. He had a power forward guarding him on isolation, and he got a left-handed layup to go.
Yeah.
I feel like I could score on Daquan Jones. I mean, Daquan Jones played pretty good defense, but anyway.
So anyway, with Bucks news.
Bucks news. Really, just stay tuned to thepewterplank.com. A lot of stuff going on. We've been talking a lot of free agency. The free agent window actually starts this weekend, where teams can start talking to and signing free agent players. And actually some news that won't be breaking by the time that you guys hear this, and it may not actually be breaking now, but there's some rumors floating that Rondae Barber has agreed to come back for what I believe is his 18th season next year. So that's definitely a cool story if it's true, but by the time you listen to this, you'll probably know one way or the other. So
yeah,
either yay Rondae or aw.
Yeah, well, either way, it's been a long, good run for
him.
No. So,
can't go wrong either way.
And new writers for the Pewter Plank, so definitely go check them out.
Yeah, plenty of stuff going on.
Yeah, and finally, with Lightning news, we got, you know, we're kind of following the trend with the Magic almost. Maybe not as bad, but we've got a lot of offense. We're still first in points per game, but we have absolutely no defense. I think last time I checked, we were 26th in points against. This past week, we lost 2 of 3. We did win pretty handily to Carolina. And we're playing Winnipeg as we record, so Thursday. So hopefully they can pull out a win and maybe keep a more than 2 win streak going.
Yeah.
Maybe to 3, maybe, dare I say, 4.
Yeah.
So. But anyway, that does it for the Tampa 2. And with this episode, it's going to be a little different, I think, this week. Right, Leo?
Yeah.
We're going to maybe go a little bit more traditional route, but we're just going to go ahead and present some of the biggest headlines, and Leo and I will talk about them. But should we, like, because we're doing like more news stuff, should we come up with some sort of like news intro or something?
Yeah, I mean, even like fake news shows have one, like the Colbert Report. So I definitely think that we should have some sort of intro. So yeah, so I think we can whip something up.
So it kind of kicks in something like this. Now, the Tampa 2 News with Terry with sports, Leo with sports, and Hal with sports.
And numbers.
And numbers. And now, Leo.
Tonight's biggest headline, the world in crisis. But more on that later.
so like something like that, that would work.
Yeah, okay. One of the big headlines in sports right now are actually surrounding the Tampa sports teams. And I call them big because, well, darn it, they're big to me. Obviously, with the Bucks, we mentioned free agency starting. Rondae Barber rumors are obviously a really big deal. But you've got the draft coming up. You've got free agency. But one of the big things that's on Buccaneers fans' minds is a potential trade for Darrell Revis, the big talent but big money, big ego cornerback from the New York Jets, easy enough for me to say, is apparently going to be traded this offseason, and a lot of people are thinking he's going to come to the Bucks.
Which, how do you figure that? Because the last thing I heard was a lot of people have been saying that the more obvious choice would go to San Francisco, but they're saying that there's just not enough salary cap space with him.
Yeah, and they're not interested in him. Like, they've come out and said that they're, like, very uninterested in him, which could just be to drive the price down. But
don't they have a poor secondary?
It could be better. The thought with Revis is that if you're going to trade for him, you may only get him for a year.
Okay.
So why would, and that's my main thing with the Bucks, is that unless you're committed to paying him long term, and that's a huge amount of money to pay.
Right.
Why would you go out and compromise your future for a guy you may only get to keep for a year? Because let's face it, the Bucks are not a favorite next year. Right. They could surprise people next year, but he'd be better off going to a team where, you know, he makes them a Super Bowl contender versus going to a team where he makes them a playoff contender, because it's certainly not worth the risk for a team that's trying to rebuild, because you might have to give up a first or second round pick. I don't think the Bucks should do that. So
you're not a big fan of him coming. And is it, but they're seriously considering him though?
I mean,
or is that just the fans Bucks are being hopeful?
The Bucks are the name that keeps coming up. A lot of fans are very hopeful, but he's a name that keeps coming up in just national writers' discussions. But mainly it's because we need a cornerback and we have lots of cap room.
Okay.
All right. You know, cap room can go really quick. So, there's guys that we need to sign.
Right. So where do you see, where do you think Revis would be the best fit then?
New York.
The Jets?
The Jets.
Oh, just sticking with him?
Yeah, I mean, he's been playing across from Antonio Cromartie for so long, and they've made a good partnership there. And, you know, the Jets have good draft picks this year. They can start rebuilding the defense around those guys.
Or offense.
Yeah, well, their offense is a problem, too. But, you know, I mean, they won on defense. And Rex Ryan's still there for some forsaken reason. So
you got me.
You know, so why not rebuild the defense and try and get back to where you were before? So
yeah, absolutely. So what else? Anything else in Tampa? Big news? I mean, I know we covered stuff in the Tampa too. But
yeah, I mean, and we talked about the Lightning, and they're definitely in the headlines. A couple headlines that's on 620 WDAE, the local radio station here. There's been a lot of talk about two particular members of the Lightning as the source of the struggles, and that is the goalie and the coach. And so just...
The head coach, Guy Boucher?
Yes.
Oh, really?
And okay. So just 140 Twitter characters or less, Terry. Give me your thoughts. If you had to get rid of one and replace them with someone better, who would it be? Boucher or Lindback?
Oh, gosh. I don't know. That's so hard to say because Lindback is really struggling, but he has such potential. He's so young. He's a big guy. He can make really big saves. I was thinking about this earlier in the week, and I hate to say it, but I'm a big fan of Guy's, but if he doesn't really turn things around, I'd give him one more year. I don't know if maybe the whole NHL lockout situation threw things, you know, for a loop or something. I would give him one more year, and if he really doesn't turn things, because in my opinion, the biggest problem is, like I mentioned in Tampa 2, is just defense. Mm-hmm. Not even necessarily from our defensive men, because they're doing a pretty good job. But the goaltenders are just giving up way too many goals. And so I think Guy really needs to focus a lot of his attention on goalie. But again, I like Garon. He's a solid backup. I like Lindback because he has a ton of potential. But like I said, give it one more year. And if after a year, I would probably get rid of Guy, to be honest, because he came in and took the team. And I don't know if, you know, I this was when I wasn't really paying attention so much to the Lightning, that he came in maybe when they were on a hot streak, got to the playoffs, got pretty, you know, far in. And then, but then every season since has just kind of started to go downhill. And so I think if after a fourth, I think this is his third year, I think next year would be his fourth if he were to stay. If that's another losing season, then I think Tampa Bay just needs to cut ties with him. Unfortunately, I like Guy. I like his style, but maybe he's just not putting enough effort into what he needs. Because like I said, they're first in defense. First in offense, still amazingly. You know, you can attribute that to the early start that they had, the great start that they had. But, you know, I think maybe he's just not focusing too much, or he's not focusing enough on goaltending in particular. That's my take on it. I don't know if you had anything to add to that, but what about you? Who would you get rid of?
For me, it would be Lindback. I think that Boucher is. What he reminds me of is he's like the hockey equivalent of Joe Maddon. Like he's he's this really personable guy. He seems to have a personality where he really stands up and fights for his guys.
Mm-hmm. He doesn't quit.
And he's
which I like.
He's got good fundamentals, but he approaches them in the right way. Like he'll say, you know, we've been doing a great job of getting first to the puck tonight. We've been doing a great job, you know, getting shots on net, or, you know, we haven't been doing a great job of this. We haven't been doing a great job of that, but he just presents everything in such a even keeled way, unless it's something where he's defending one of his guys. Like when a stupid penalty is called, he gets upset.
Right.
Because he's standing up for his guys, and creating a culture like that really helps. So I would get rid of Limbeck because as I was posing the question, it was like the fantasy world of if you could replace them with someone better. And having a goalie who can bail you out of bad situations would be important for a team like this. So that's a situation where, you know, Lindback does have potential, but for a team that's only a couple years removed from being in Game 7 of the Eastern Conference Finals,
right?
The talent is there that you don't need potential. You just need a little bit more skill, and you also need a mindset change because there's just a lot of guys making dumb mistakes.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, and that's everybody. It's not just the defensemen. Right. Like there's been a lot of bad plays by forwards that have led to goals. So, even Stamkos, it was a game a couple nights ago where, I believe it was against the Penguins where they had the lead. He's coming down on a shorthanded breakaway and it's 2-on-1 because Eric Brewer, defenseman, has come up and gotten up near the crease. And the radio call was great. Dave Mishkin, the radio guy for the Lightning, he said, Stamkos winds up to shoot. And before he even shoots, he says, you've got to hit the net from here. Stamkos shoots. Stamkos misses the net. Not only does he miss it, he misses it to the far side. So it just goes straight up the boards on the other side, past Brewer. Mm-hmm. So all you've got is Sammy Salow versus the rest of the Penguins who are all back there.
Yeah.
So he was hopeless. You know, there's no way to defend that. So it's just a situation where you've got a lot of guys making turnovers. You've got a lot of guys doing all that sort of stuff. And you could say that falls on the coach, but it's the same coach that got you to the Eastern Conference Finals. So I think it's the players. And so, honestly, what I would do in a realistic sense is try and trade Vinny LeCavalier for a goalie. Because he's getting up in age, and he's got the biggest contract on the team, but he's also got a lot of, you know,
a lot of pulls still.
He's someone that you can show that he has value, because obviously between him and St. Louis, you'd probably trade St. Louis because he seems like he's fallen off a little more. Mm-hmm. But for the same reason, you're not going to get anything for him. But the problem with that is that this isn't a fantasy world, and the guy with the C on his chest, you don't just rip him out of the locker room and trade him.
Right.
So he means a lot to this team and this community. So that's not what's going to happen. But like if I was playing NHL 13. I would trade Vinny and get a goal.
Right, but you're right though. We have a lot of offensive guys that's going to get the job done between Stamkos and St. Louis. Not so much now, and then LeCavalier. You have a lot of offensive weapons, but you know, with a goalie, I mean, from what it sounds like, is like, you know, we either need someone from the draft or someone coming up from the AHL. That we know when we put him in at game one, he's going to make the saves every single time. It's not a matter of, okay, well, it's not like the NFL where you draft someone and you coach him for a couple years, you have them watch. They need to be able to play at professional caliber right off the bat. And I mean, I can agree with you with that. I mean, you know, it's only a matter of time to see what happens. What else, Leo? Anything outside of Tampa? That our non-Tampa listeners would be interested in?
This is kind of in Tampa and kind of out of Tampa. We're kind of moving out of the area here. And it has to do with the Big East. The Big East is going through a lot of turmoil right now. The Catholic Seven, as they're known, are leaving the Big East to form the Big East. The Catholic basketball schools in the Big East, which is like Villanova and... Villanova is always the first one I think of, and I can't remember the other names of them. But anyway, the basketball-playing Big East schools. So it's Villanova, it's St. John's, it's DePaul, it's all these schools that don't play football but are in the Big East. They're separating from the rest of the Big East to form a basketball-only conference that's going to be known as the Big East. And it's going to include Butler, it's going to include Xavier, and a few other teams like that. So where does that leave the other teams? Because there's still teams in the Big East, like UConn, like USF,
mm-hmm.
that are in the Big East but also play football. Well, they're looking to form their own conference, and the name at this point is looking like it's going to be the America 12 Conference.
Okay.
And that's because, unlike these other conferences that are named Big East but they have schools from out west, or named Big West but they have schools from out east,
right,
they're not going to lie and pretend like they're not going to have schools from all over the place.
Right.
Because they're going to be in a position where if there's a decent team out there that wants to move up in conferences, they're going to grab them.
Right.
So they have UCF and they have USF, mm-hmm. but they also have Houston. And let's just say Boise State wanted to move. They'd say, sure, whatever. Let's say Washington wanted to move. Sure, whatever, cool. If Alaska Fairbanks starts a football team and they want to join, they'll probably take them.
Right.
Because they're just losing so much from that conference, because you've got Syracuse moving, you know, Notre Dame's never going to join.
Mm-hmm.
You've got all these different situations. And so they're just basically saying, we're the America 12 conference because we're just going to take whatever teams want to be in this conference and we're just going to stick together. And we're not going to have all this changing and this realigning and all this stupid stuff. We've got good schools already and we're losing our good basketball schools. So you have a chance to compete in basketball and be in a good conference for football. And I don't know, it's going to be interesting because USF's going to have, you know, a good opportunity in this conference because mm-hmm. it's going to get a good national exposure.
Yeah.
So it'll be interesting to see. And having UCF in the same conference is obviously going to be pretty fun to have that.
Oh, yeah.
On a full-time basis. No, that'd be great. Definitely. Well, and we've brought that up before, is just this idea that, you know, if you're a predominantly basketball school, you know, why would you... I mean, the SEC's not a good example. Well, I guess it could be. I mean, Alabama, you don't hear about Alabama basketball so much.
Yeah, they're not that great.
You know, but these schools that are all basketball can kind of form their own thing and say, we don't have to rely on our football team to, you know, move us up in the ranks.
Yeah, it would have been really interesting to see if Kentucky was tempted to join this Big East. The problem mm-hmm. is that all of the schools have a religious foundation.
Right.
And Kentucky is a den of sin. I'm just going to keep isolating different groups of people until we have no one left.
Kentucky's a beautiful area.
Actually, I really do like Lexington. It's a nice place.
But, it is.
But yeah, so it'll be interesting to see. But
sure, I'm surprised the Big East wasn't like the Holy Rollers Conference or something like that.
I mean, that's like when they kept calling it the Catholic Seven. I'm like, if they really call it that, that's going to be really polarizing.
Oh, yeah.
But I don't know. Anyway, moving on. Okay. We're already in the Big East, so let's stay in the East and go to the AL East, where we have a new story about Mariano Rivera, the historic Yankees closer.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to be done after this season. You may not have heard his name a lot lately because he didn't play last year because he tore his ACL shagging fly balls and didn't play. But he's going to be done. And you know, he's a Yankee. I can't stand him, but he's a really good pitcher.
Yep.
And I won't miss him from a Rays perspective, but, you know, it's always sad to see one of the better players go. So that's just a little quick headline, just as kind of news that's going on that does affect the Rays. But this is one that we kind of talked about before in this next headline, staying in the Eastern Conference area, because that's where the Bucks and Rays and stuff are in the East. Mm-hmm. So keep the East Coast bias going.
Yeah.
Kyrie Irving, the star point guard for the Cleveland Cavaliers, is having some knee problems. And he continues to play despite knee problems and is a promising young player for a franchise that wears red and gold. Tell me where you've heard this story before.
I don't know, Leo. Why don't you tell us? For those that might not know.
This situation sounds really similar to that of Robert Griffin III.
Mm-hmm.
Except that the Cavaliers have the added bonus of not being in the competition for a playoff spot.
Right.
So they need to shut him down, like, yesterday and put him on injured reserve and don't play him anymore.
Yeah, because Cleveland's, like, way down at the bottom.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah. And he's the reason that they ever win.
Uh-huh.
So you're not going to win without him, but
why risk?
Yeah, you've got an opportunity to have one of the best players in the league for years to come.
Mm.
And if he's got an injury concern, he's already proven this year. I mean, he got into the All-Star game. He's proven. He's a terrific player.
Yeah.
But you don't need to risk anything with him. And I know teams want to win, but honestly, at this point, for the Cavaliers, you wouldn't be competing with the Bobcats and the Magic to get the most ping pong balls in the lottery for a good draft pick. So sit him down, keep losing.
Yeah.
Fans in Cleveland don't expect you to win. So,
and we've talked about this before, is the idea of coaching and saving your player. I mean, that, yeah, you're exactly right. When we were talking about Robert Griffin, it's like, you know, should Shannon have pulled him sooner? It's the same kind of things. Like, why are you risking, and particularly with this, because like you said, there's no chance they're going to the playoffs. Cleveland has been a losing team for years. It's like, you know, you run the risk of him taking personal or, you know, permanent injury, and then you're out of star player, and then you're definitely not going to sell tickets for a while.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like, it's just, it's a lose-lose situation. Just, you know, kind of gather your chips as, you know, that you have left, and just wait till next season. Let him get healthy.
So. Absolutely. And it's just a situation where you know he's an injury-prone guy, so don't push him, because he's proven in the past that he'll push himself too far. So don't let him do that and shut him down.
Yeah.
It's not like the situation where when the Nationals shut down Steven Strasburg and they actually made the playoffs, you know, or when Robert Griffin was hurt. It's a completely different situation. You're not a competitive team. Just,
right,
you know, cut your losses and move on.
Although, if you're listening and you have a different argument as to why they should keep playing him, go ahead and email us at Tampa2Podcast@gmail.com or on Twitter at Tampa2Podcast. We'd like to hear from you.
For sure. Quick little update, and I guess this is back in Florida because I didn't realize the tournament was in Florida. But Tiger is playing pretty well. He's holing some long birdie putts at the Doral. I guess it's the Cadillac Championships, but it's at Doral.
Right.
I really have this feeling that he's back, and this year he's gonna be really resurgent, because he's been kind of showing it a little bit in the past couple of years that he's kind of
hasn't closed
inching
it.
His way back.
Yeah.
I think that this is the year where he's going to, you know, come out and have it all together. But I just really wanted to throw that in real quick, because it should be news that Tiger's playing well.
Right. Well, the thing that's getting the most news is that Rory McIlroy isn't doing well, and that, you know, he gave up in the first round on Wednesday, and you know, that he's like, well, I don't have a shot. Of course, he apologizes for that, you know, I think it was this morning, but it makes you kind of wonder, did Tiger, because him and Rory and Tiger kind of hooked up for that Nike commercial, and
yeah,
that scene, you know, powwowing together, does that mean, did Tiger like rub off some of his bad mojo to him or something like that?
I mean, because if you went back 3 or 4 years ago, you would have expected Rory to be the one who shot the 66 and Tiger to be the one who shot the 73,
right,
particularly on a first day, because Tiger's not always been great on first days. He's usually okay on the first day, great on the second day, great on the third day, good enough on the fourth day.
Right.
That's kind of been his MO. But, you know, it's going to be interesting to see this year, because if Rory struggles, Tiger's proven that he's better than Phil. And so you're running out of people to contend, because there's a lot of guys who are good golfers that aren't as good as Tiger. There's only a few guys that actually can stand up to Tiger
and
take him down. Like, if it comes down to the last day of a tournament, there's only so many guys who can do that.
Sure. No, and I'm with you, because, I mean, I said that earlier on that, you know, I'm not a bandwagoner so much, but I have an appreciation for Tiger. And like I mentioned in earlier episodes, I kind of feel for some of the stuff that he's gone through, the injuries, the personal things. I mean, I'm not condoning what he did, but at any rate, you know, he is a legend. He will be talked about for years and years to come. And it is always a triumphant story to see. You always want to see the guy, the hero, come back. And so, like you said, I mean, this could be his season. So, you know, I wish him, you know, the best of luck, and it'll be exciting to see where he comes in. So,
yep. And just a couple more kind of quick fire-ish headlines. And speaking of the Magic, they've been in the news lately because Dwight Howard decided to run his mouth, which is something that he should have learned he shouldn't be doing, because he made a fool of himself when he was still in Orlando. But he said in an interview that my team in Orlando was full of people that nobody wanted, and I was the leader, and I led that team with a smile on my face. And so then he came out later and said, well, I just meant that we were underdogs. That's not how you say underdogs.
No.
But this is something that Dwight's been doing. He's been going back and forth on what he thinks he says. And the Magic players saw right through this. And they've come out, and even former Magic player J.J. Redick came out and said something to the effect of, you know, he may have thought that he was the leader, but leader means taking responsibility. And that's something I never saw Dwight do.
Yeah, I always got the feeling that no one really cared for him in Orlando. I mean, when we got him, it was like, oh, we got a really high draft pick and, you know, he could change things. But I got the sense that, you know, the coach, that the other players never really rallied around him. It was always just the Dwight Howard show.
He, as he grew in confidence in his game, he became less and less tolerable. Because he used to be just kind of happy-go-lucky and fun. But that was just because he was kind of being shy, and that was just kind of his way of coming out of his shell. Mm-hmm. And then once he realized he was good, he became a buffoon. So,
right.
But yeah. Anyway, another couple quicker headlines. USF Basketball, who we have eliminated from the Tampa 2.
Sorry, guys.
They actually won their home finale against UConn, who's not really as good as UConn usually is, but mm-hmm. they beat UConn. So that's something to be happy about, even though that's been a waste of a year for them. And then also some big news for the Lightning, but it's national news as well, is that the NHL is going to have different divisions starting next year. NHL realignment has been decided upon. And tell me if this one makes sense. The Tampa Bay Lightning are going to be in the Central Division, because nothing says center of America like Tampa Bay, Florida.
Well, and it's one thing to put one Florida team, but then you also have the Florida Panthers in there as well. Yes. There's nothing central.
Tell me one team that's central in the division. It's the Detroit Red Wings, because for some reason Detroit and Michigan are considered the Midwest, even though it's pretty far east.
Right.
And so then they name the entire division the Central because of the Red Wings. The whole reason for realignment was mm-hmm. to get the Red Wings in the east. Mm-hmm. And they did it. They've got it done.
They got it done.
And so they named a whole division after them, because the holy grail of the NHL, the Detroit Red Wings, they're in the Eastern Conference.
Right. And I would think that, like, the Columbus Blue Jackets are in the Atlantic Division.
Yes, they should be in the same division as the Red Wings.
Right, exactly. I mean, you got the Rangers, the Islanders, the Devils.
The Penguins should be in the same division as the Red Wings. They're much closer to the Red Wings.
Yes, they're much more central than anything. I mean, yes, Florida is about as far east as you can get, no matter where in Florida, whether it's the west or east side. I mean, I'm glad that they've brought it to four divisions. But yeah, I mean, we'll see what happens. It'll be kind of interesting considering, I mean, look, we got a pretty tough schedule. I mean, we still got the Bruins to contend with. Sabres have been kind of, you know, on or off this season. Same thing with the Red Wings. Panthers, we've been able to handle pretty well. Based on this season, it's going to be a tough schedule for us. I mean, it's,
yeah, and yeah. I feel like that's maybe why they didn't group it more regionally, because if you would have made it the Predators, the Capitals, the Blue Jackets, the Lightning, and the Panthers, you know, there's not a lot of historical talent there.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's probably why they avoided that, but that's just what happens in sports sometimes. Mm-hmm. And in baseball, in any given season, and in football, in any given season, a division kind of stinks. And that's what happens. But
yeah,
I feel like they're focusing too much on what they think these teams are now, and they're not, like, this could totally turn into a huge mess, because if the Bruins, Red Wings, Canadiens, and Maple Leafs are all good in one year,
mm-hmm.
it's going to be completely imbalanced.
Well, haven't they been talking about doing more expansion teams? So that would bring, if over time, like maybe in the next decade or something, you bring in four more teams into each region. Then you can split it up north or south or however you want to do it. And then you can kind of do what the NFL does, where it's four teams per conference or per division. Then you have the conference and stuff like, you know, something like that. I mean, I don't know. That's a thought. But then we'd have the Panthers. Potentially, you'd have the Panthers, the Lightning, probably the Hurricanes. And the Capitals, maybe. I guess those are the more southeast teams.
Yeah.
And, you know, then you're kind of back to where you were before.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I don't understand it. It's really catered to the Canadian teams in some ways.
Oh,
it's mostly catered to the Red Wings.
Wow.
But you know. So that's some of the major around the country news, but we've been starting to do this, and it's something that's definitely kind of interesting. Let's send it to Terry over at the sports desk for a little off the radar news action.
Thanks, Leo. Yeah, got a couple stories here.
Oh, by the way, the world is still in crisis, but more on that later.
Yes, more on the world in crisis. So stay tuned. I got a couple stories that, again, you're not going to see on your, you know, breaking news on your iPhone and notifications, or maybe, you know, if you get tweets to your phone, you're not going to, you know, probably see these. So let's start with the first one. Again, another, reliable source that I've liked to go to, USA Today. The headline is Fish Tweezers and Four Other Weird Things on Jay Cutler's Wedding Registry. You know, obviously Jay Cutler's the only person that is sports related in this, but I don't know if anyone follows this at all. He's been kind of having this on again, off again relationship with Kristen Cavallari, which I can't remember her famous claim to fame. Yeah. My wife would know. Yeah. I think she was on like The Bachelor or something like that.
I think she's some reality
show. Some reality show person. And then, you know, of course, some of us have heard that, you know, they got engaged via text message. So really classy there, Jay. But anyway, so they were, some of the guys at USA Today were able to find out some of the more odd things on their wedding registry. And, you know, with famous people with millions of dollars, you know, you never know what to expect. You know, it comes to a point where you have everything. So it's like, oh gosh, we have all the dishes and the bed sheets and, you know, what else do you ask for? I mean, I remember when I got married at 19 and when I did my wedding registry, it was all, okay, we have nothing. We're going to have nothing after we get married because we're going to be in college and broke. So what are the bare essentials that we need? So anyway, really quick, let's just go through these because I think they're kind of interesting. Number one, the Cuisa Pro Cupcake Core. And
it's $5, Jay. Go buy it.
First of all, it's $5.
It's $5.
Why would you put that on a wedding registry? Usually you reserve wedding registries for things
that you're not,
$20 and over.
Yeah.
Is I think the kind of the area you're gonna do it. But if you're not into gourmet cupcakes, it's just the idea that you can core out a cupcake and put whatever filling in. So I have a feeling
you could put slices of apple in it.
And then core. Oh yes,
that's a segue.
Sorry, thank you. Yeah, I got that one. That didn't go over my head or anything. Yes, number two that on the list is a rosy apple slicer. So you're thinking, okay, it's a kitchen item that, you know, a lot of apples they want to core out. But I have one myself. They're handy little tools. The problem comes in the fact that it's $34. Again, the whole idea of the rich wanting, and there's nothing even special about it. Like, no. It looks like a normal apple core. Yeah. You can get one for, again, like $5 or $10 at Walmart.
Yeah, and or you can get a knife.
Or knife, you know, that works as well.
Because what else can you do with an apple core? You can cut a pear, maybe. Kind of. Not,
I mean,
really.
It's a kind of a unitasker, yeah. as Alton Brown of Good Eats would say. But yeah, $34. I mean,
this next one's worse, though.
For $34, I want it to be like, sing a tune or be
platinum. I'd rather spend $35 on that than $50 on this next one.
Yes, this is the fish tweezers, Shun's fish tweezers, and if you're not familiar with cooking, it's for getting the pin bones out of, you know, salmon fillets or whatever. But $50, it's a pair of tweezers.
It's tweezers.
Go to Walgreens or CVS or, you know, If Eckerd's were still around, you'd go to Eckerd's.
Yeah.
If you're down here in Florida, and get a pair of $3 tweezers, but $50.
Or take the tweezers you have and boil them in hot water until they're sanitary. Because how often do you use your tweezers?
Not very often. At least I don't.
And when you do use them, they're not the most disgusting thing in your bathroom.
Right.
I mean, just you know, but whatever. Yeah, go buy normal tweezers. Don't buy fish tweezers. Yeah, it's stupid.
I think what some people have in their mind is, they watch a cooking show in particular, because all these are food related. They watch a cooking show, they see Bobby Flay or they see some famous chef doing something elaborate, and they're like, oh, I want to do that. And, you know, of course, they're professionals and they probably don't even have some of this stuff. I guarantee you a professional chef's not going to use an apple core. But anyway, that's besides the point. And then they just think, oh, I need this on their list. I wonder, I would like to see their whole wedding registry because I'm sure they have everything they ever need. I wonder if they're just like throwing crap on there just to be like, well, we got to put something on there.
Yeah, I mean, the last thing on the list, you know, after we get past this fourth one, it definitely shows that they're just looking for just ridiculous stuff. But
it's, again, food related. It's a chip and dip tray. It's just a white, and we'll put the link to this so you can see, you know, the pictures, but it's just a chip and dip tray. I mean, that's it, but it's $30. Not, again, you know, hey, more power to you. If that's really what you want from your wedding and you want to, you know, after the big day, you're opening up all the gifts that you get. If that's what you want, hey, more power to you.
The last thing, this just blows my mind, is the last thing on their registry is that they want cereal bowls.
Yeah.
And they come in a set of four on the website that they want these cereal bowls on. They have requested 8 sets of 4 cereal bowls. They want 32 cereal bowls. Now, Jay Cutler, for those of you who might not know, is not the most widely liked NFL player.
Which is funny, because I kind of like him. I mean, he's goofy, and he does stupid stuff.
He does a lot of stupid stuff, and he's very...
But he's not like Ndamukong Suh or something.
He's worse. Because he's just that guy.
Okay.
He's that guy who texted his girlfriend to propose. He's that guy that, you know, shoves his teammates on the sideline because he wants to get them to get out of his way.
Right.
Like, he's just that guy. When you think of that guy, it's probably Jay Cutler. He's a crybaby. He's you know, kind of immature for his age. And it's not like he's going to have the whole team over to hang out and eat something out of all these cereal bowls.
Mm-hmm.
And there's 2 of them. It's not like she's Octomom.
Yeah. You know?
I mean, she might be from reality TV, but she's not from one of these shows where the woman has 17 children. I mean, they don't need that many bowls.
Yeah, and I love that it's specifically cereal bowls. But it was funny because the author of this article says, the only plausible explanation, an epic Bears team chili cook-off is in store for this offseason. We'll take Brian Urlacher for the win. So that actually seems kind of reasonable. I mean, I don't know if he's chummy with his teammates.
See, after that's the thing. I don't think he had. Like, I think that he would call for a chili cook-off and, like, 2 guys would show up.
Maybe they just eat a lot of cereal. Who knows? Anyway, let's move on. That's enough of their wedding registry. Yeah, good luck to you guys. You know, hope you get all the crap you guys want. Chinese golf course to feature green in giant bowl of noodles.
I just pulled up the image and that is,
it is so goofy looking. Getting artsy fartsy with your green here. That's gotta suck for the greenskeeper. Okay, basically what you're seeing is it's a draft, you know, a drawing representation of what it's gonna look like. It looks like there's this little green patty floating in the middle of a giant bowl. There's even chopsticks and everything.
It looks like, just imagine, if you're a golf nerd, this will make sense to you. Imagine the TPC at Sawgrass, the 17th hole, the island green. It's kind of set up the same way, similar sized green, has like the grass path to attach it back to the course in the back so that you know there's nothing in the front to land the ball on. But it's just literally surrounded by fake noodles, a fake bowl, and fake chopsticks. So like, just take the most iconic course in all of golf and turn it into glorified mini golf that's actually really difficult. So yeah. And this course apparently has a bunch of other really weird stuff
there. Like, it says hole number 4 is called Riches to Ruin, and it's based on the Mayan stepped pyramids, and they're just going to be kind of scattered throughout. Hole 14 is the Great Wall. They'll have a model of the Great Wall. But check this out, because they have a couple of the pictures, a couple of, like, the Great Wall one actually looks kind of pretty, you know, because it's just, it's not like an obstacle or anything.
No, it's in the middle of the hole. Like, you have to lay up before it and then shoot over it. Like, it keeps going.
Well, okay, well, I mean
it's just, I don't know.
But it's supposed to be a fantasy. It's supposed to be, I guess, bringing the mini golf mentality a little bit into, you know, okay, the Mayan one, I just saw the picture of it. That would suck.
Yeah.
Because it's like, if, again, I think all of us know what the Mayan stepped pyramids are. So they've actually put green on each step. I mean, Could you imagine if you got it on the fifth step, having to get it up on the top one? I mean, it's, you're going to have to take some, you know, really big handicap there. So anyway, it's expected to open in 2014. And, you know, I think it's interesting. It's creative. Not really sure how it's going to work to the real golf enthusiast. So anyway, go check that out. Tampa2podcast.com. Go to Podomatic. We'll have the links up there and you can take a look for yourself. This next one comes again from foxsports.com.au. I don't know what it is with them. They always come out with the weird and wacky. They actually have a weird and wacky section to theirs. So, of course, that's where I'm going to go. I'll read the headline and we'll just kind of, you know, break this down a little bit. Manchester United fan calls police to report referee for sending off Nani against Real Madrid. This is kind of something you might have heard about. It was a Champions League game, or, yeah, UEFA Champions League. Mm-hmm. Manchester United versus Real Madrid. So you got Rooney versus Cristiano Ronaldo. So it's a big matchup. It was actually played in Old Trafford in England. And basically what happens is Nani goes up for a ball. It's kind of mid-level. I don't remember the Real Madrid player that was going for it. Excuse me. And Nani puts his foot up, and it, I would say inadvertently, honestly. I mean, you kind of have a little bit more clarity than that, but he's kind of far away from the ball. He puts his leg up to get the ball down. He ends up, you know, kicking the guy in the chest. Of course, the guy goes down. Nani instantly gets a red card, is sent off, and I think Real Madrid ended up winning that game. So, and I don't remember how early in the game it was. Do you remember?
It was around the halftime mark, because Manchester United was actually winning, and they were winning on the aggregate scoreline as well. They would actually wind up giving up two goals, which would flip everything and flip it to a loss for them. So, right. So it was definitely very impactful. They essentially had to play the entire second half a man down. But my quick thoughts on this are, I've seen my team be on the wrong end of some stupid situation where somebody's foot was too high. And it's just like in hockey. It's just like in any other sport where you're doing something reckless, particularly like in hockey and soccer, where if you have your foot or your stick too high and it accidentally does something it's not supposed to, you're done.
Right.
That's just what happens. It's just the rules. Chico Flores for Swansea City missed a guy's head earlier this season and got a red card, because they won't have any of that in soccer,
particularly violence, you know, violent acts. And that's the thing we've said, you know, it's a subjective game or a sport to referee. You know, if there is a lot of violence tied to it, they're going to give you a red card. I've heard a lot of different sports analysts, you know, say one way or the other that, oh, it was an accident, he was going for the ball, or no, this was a flagrant kick, you know, he shouldn't have even had his leg up, you know, who knows what. But anyway, regardless of where you stand, or even the game turnout, the funny thing is again, a fan called the police on this. It's saying an 18-year-old who has not been named was watching at home, like thousands of other United fans at Old Trafford, when he was incensed by Turkish referee something Kartir's decision to show a red card to Nani, and called the police to report it. Basically goes on to say they're not going to charge him, that, you know, there's a spokesman for the police department saying, you know, there's more important things to be worrying about. We can be, you know, taking calls about murders or, you know, heart attacks or who knows what. But
it's particularly ironic for a Manchester United fan to be upset about something like this when they're always the one who receives the benefit of
situations like this. And I would have loved to have watched this game. I honestly didn't know what was going on. So, you know, huge game, but guy calls the police. Yeah. It's like you hear the stories that you hear in America predominantly about someone calling the police because they didn't get a double cheeseburger that they'd ordered from Burger King.
The person's not giving me my food. Well, did you give them money? Well, no, I didn't, but it's my cheeseburger and I want it. Like, stuff like that.
Things like that. And finally, last headline, sheep shearers raised the bar so bad New Zealand for sheer fun of it. Gosh, how many puns can we cram into that headline?
So bad.
Sheep shearing championship in New Zealand, Masterton, New Zealand, It was the World Sheep Shearing Competition. 4,600 sheep were picked, which is crazy. And top clippers from around the globe compete for a top prize of, what is it, 3,000 New Zealand dollars? Is that what it is? I don't know what their currency is.
Pretty sure they use dollars.
Yeah. Basically $2,500. But where it came from is that they linked this article, and another sports writer linked it saying, is this a potential Olympic sport? Which brings up kind of an idea of, you know, you see, you know, back in the, like maybe the early or late 90s, early 2000s of like ESPN2, they'd show like, along with like World's Strongest Man, they would show like outdoor championships with like axe choppers and saws and you know, all that kind of stuff, log racing and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And so it begs, you know, it makes you wonder, will this ever be an Olympic sport?
Yeah.
Would you like to see it?
There's just so many athletic endeavors out there that need to be Olympic sports ahead of this nonsense. But what comes to mind is Kenny Mayne did a piece a few years ago on some European sport where people basically pole vault over a river. And the point is just to get it as far as you can once you get over the river.
Uh-huh.
So it's like there's a pole that's buried in the middle of the river, and you just run from one side and you launch up over the river, huh, and you land on the sand on the other side. Like, I'd more rather see something like that go in than sheep shearing. And I think maybe that the headline has soured me to the idea. Like, it's I would have been.
It's so bad.
I would have
bad.
Thanks.
It's awful. No,
I mean, as an editor, I write headlines and I use really bad puns, but I don't go that far. That's a little too far. There's a line, and I believe that they have crossed it.
Very much so.
It would be funny for them to add a sport like that and take away wrestling just to see how wrestling people would react, but.
So it's like, you got rid of wrestling, which has been around since the original Olympics back in, you know, ancient Greece, but you're going to bring in sheep shearing.
Yeah.
But, you know, it was funny. I was actually looking at the Winter Olympics, you know, which is going to be coming up at the end of this year, beginning of next year, which I'm looking forward to, and seeing some of the games that they tried to bring in Sochi. I think Sochi, Russia is where it's being hosted. And, you know, I think a lot of them were more ski based. They're talking about bringing in ski half pipe, and which is, you know, if you brought in snowboarding, why not bring in skiing? Yeah. So anyway, they're talking about doing that. But then some of the ones that they proposed but were shot down were like, I don't remember the technical term, but like ski orientation. Basically, you're with a team and you're trying to get from one point to another. And, you know, I'm sure there's a lot of history behind it. So, you know, but again, I've always wondered when the Olympics will start to consider some of these more zany sports, particularly that, you know, ones that all countries can identify with to some point. Yeah. So anyway, that does it for headlines. That's our news portion. A lot of news, not a lot of debate, but you know, if you ever hear about a good article, maybe it's just a local team that you know, high school team. We did a high school story recently. Or if you find one even better than ours, we want to hear from you. So again, get on Twitter, shoot us 140 characters, link us a story, or send us an email, tampa2podcast@gmail.com. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we'd love to hear from you guys. Sure. So let's move on. We're not going to do any kind of family duel or any kind of sort of game this week, but
because it's not very news-like.
No, it's not news-like. News is very serious,
yes,
as the last segment just proved.
Absolutely.
With sheep shearing is no joke.
No joke.
You know, they take their craft seriously. So we're going to move ahead on to predictions.
No, we're done.
No. We're going to keep going.
No, we're done.
Why are we done?
Hal told me the scores, and I'm not happy about
that. Oh, well, don't be a poor, you know, a sour sport or sour puss or whatever, whatever bad cliche you want to throw in there.
Okay.
Fine. So let's quickly recap last week. We had an NHL game, St. Louis Blues versus Dallas Stars. And we both picked St. Louis, stupidly, as it turned out, because Dallas stomped all over St. Louis 4-1. So we both lost that one. But with basketball,
yeah,
positive news.
We both picked the Thunder to beat the Clippers, which was, in fact, the right decision, as the Thunder won 108-104. We both actually picked scores in the 100, so we're both pretty close.
Yeah.
No one can clamor for any bonus points there, because we were pretty much... I mean,
I got the spread right.
And I was much closer on the scores.
You were. So
it's one of those things where we both have equal rights to say that we should have got bonus points. So then...
That leads us to the last one. Okay.
The last one.
So these first two games, we both picked the same teams.
Yes.
This is a soccer game. It was a La Liga game.
Yes.
Real Sociedad.
Yes.
And Real Betis.
Yes.
This is so awesome. I'm sorry. I love it. I picked a 2-2 tie based on last time they met. I think they tied 0-0 or something like that. You had picked Betis to win solely because of... a comparison that was made to a Swansea City player. Is that correct?
Yes.
If I remember that correctly.
Yeah.
So you picked Betis to win 3-1, which wasn't so bad. I mean, some of the, you know, statistics that I had proven that Betis is better on the road and, you know, whatever. However, out of the three outcomes, Betis and Sociedad did in fact tie 3-3, giving me the rare W because I correctly guessed the 2-2 tie. So, Hal, please, please, please share with us the overall totals.
Gentlemen, we have a new leader. Terry, you now have 28 wins to 24 losses for a win-loss percentage of 53.85%. And Leo, you have 27 wins to 25 losses for a win-loss percentage of 51.92%.
Yes, that is correct. I have surpassed Leo in the wins column.
It's all because of the stupid Super Bowl bet. You picked up like four games on me on the stupid Super Bowl bet.
Hey,
so,
I mean, don't hate the player, man.
It's revenge this week.
All right, fine.
You're picking, I will allow the winners to go first. You're picking every game first this week.
All right, fine. Well, and you might have a good shot because I honestly didn't really study a whole lot. So these are going to be a lot of gut predictions.
I never study. So we're on even footing here.
Okay. I'm only up by one. So, hey, three games, you could sweep this and I could completely lose them. First game, going back to the Barclays Premier League's resuming league play. Aston Villa at Reading. So two of the bottom three teams, Saturday, March 9th. At 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. Oh, gosh. I'm going to say Reading. I'm going to go ahead and say Reading, and let's call it, I'll say high score, 4-3. I don't know. What do you got?
I'm going with Aston Villa.
Okay.
4-3.
Are you just doing this despite me?
No, I'm not going to do this on all of them. I was actually going to pick Aston Villa.
Okay.
And just to be a contrarian, I'll pick the same score line. But I don't think that Reading is... Aston Villa has what it takes to stay up in the Premier League. Reading really doesn't. Aston Villa is just playing below where they should be. But sure. It's getting to that time of year now where they've got to... make it or break it.
Yeah.
And I feel like they're going to step it up.
Or be relegated down. So they definitely don't want that. So the next game is an NHL game. Boston Bruins at the Ottawa Senators. Monday, March 11th.
Can I take the Blackhawks in this one?
Yes, that would be a sure bet. But no, you cannot.
Okay.
Gosh, my gut says Bruins. But again, Senators are again one of those teams this year that at home they can kind of dominate. So I'm not super sure. And of course, I'm picking first, so I don't have any kind of inclination as to where to go. I'll go with my gut. I'll say Senators. I think it'd be a close game. I think many goals will be scored. I will say 4-3. I'll say 4-3, just like the last game with soccer.
Yeah, I'm going with the home team here. I'm gonna go with Ottawa. I'll just say it's a lower score. I'll say that it'll be 2-1 in favor of Ottawa.
All right.
I just feel like when either team stands out, going with the home team is usually a pretty solid decision.
Sure. So. All right, and we're moving on to our last game, NCAA college basketball. Two
top rank, top 25 teams, Kansas State at Oklahoma State, Saturday, March 9th at 1:30 p.m. I will actually go with the road win on this one. Score-wise, again, I don't know much about these teams, so I'll just throw out a number of, I think it might be fairly close, kind of prime time, close game. So let's say 80 to 77. What about you, Leo?
I was going to pick Kansas State.
But you need one to overcome me.
Yeah, and I mean, I'm confident in the Aston Villa pick, but I want to take the lead. And like you said, Oklahoma State is at home.
And they're ranked 13th right now, I believe.
Yeah, and they're Kansas both is 9. Yeah, they're both right there. They're both kind of in that second tier. I'll do it. I'll go with Oklahoma State. I'll say Oklahoma State 74-68.
All right. Well, we'll see next week. Maybe my lead will have extended even more after this. But Leo can only hope that he surpasses me. So it's a possibility with a couple different picks. So tune in next week to see what happens. And I think if I win the two that we chose different on, it might be a solo show. I have a feeling that it might just be me next week.
If I win both. It'll be, I'm going to pick the things that we predict.
Okay, fair enough.
And they'll all be like really obscure against the spread proposition bets.
Okay.
Of games that have already happened that you don't know about. And I'm going to like unplug the internet from your computer.
Oh, that's not fair. That's not winning fairly. Where's the sportsmanship in that?
I don't think that... I guess I got the Beyonce one, right? I was going to say I don't think picking stuff about Beyonce is fair either, but I'm just... it's sour grapes.
Well,
but,
hey,
we're both over 500. We'd both be making money in Vegas.
That's right, so. Exactly. But we should leave it up to the listeners to decide what games we pick. So if you have a game that you want us to predict, no matter how random and obscure it is, just as long as it's one person or team competing against another, not golf or anything like that.
Although that would be interesting if we got like 5 points for picking the winner of a golf tournament.
Well, we can certainly do
that. If somebody has an idea for a way to have a win versus a loss, like if you said like Tiger or Phil versus the field, just whatever you guys can think of, because
NASCAR.
I'm sure a lot of you are degenerate gamblers, so you know all about this. So,
but if you have a suggestion for a game that you want us to predict, again, hit us up on Twitter, email, comment. Get in touch with us somehow.
I have an idea.
What's up
for this week?
Okay,
we'll add this one in, and we can. Once one of us picks something, the other one can't pick it.
Okay,
NASCAR this weekend, Danica versus the field. I pick the field.
Well, that's not fair. Fine, I'll pick Danica.
No, you won't.
No, no, I'm not.
No sensible person would do that.
Yes, if you send that, we're just going to ignore you and ridicule you on air. So don't do that. Anyway, that does it for us, guys. We're going to exit stage left, as always. Check us out at TampaNumber2Podcast.com. Find us on iTunes. Subscribe. We're also at Twitter. Check out Leo on thepewterplank.com, and we will see you next week.
Adios.
Thanks for listening to the Tampa 2 podcast. You can get all the episodes on iTunes. Follow the Tampa 2 on Twitter and check out www.tampa2podcast.com.